Good morning and welcome to the June 26, 2018 Port Commission meeting. On behalf of our chairman, Longoria, welcome. We're glad you're here. She's out of the country today and asked me to sit in for her, so I'm happy to do that. And I'll try to uphold her standards of efficiency in running a Port Commission meeting while she's gone. So, commissioners, I might need your help today on that. Before we begin the formal agenda items, I'd like to mention the artwork that all of you saw when you came in this morning. I hope you saw it. I hope you had an opportunity to stop, take a look at the artwork that some of our Pasadena ISD students have come up with today. This is part of a program in the Pasadena ISD called STEAM. Now, I know we often talk about STEM as a focus of our educational institutions, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. In Pasadena ISD, they've inserted an A in there to make it STEAM, and the A is for arts. And they've been focusing on, let me just read it to you. The program included over 600 seventh grade students from Pasadena ISD, and it's designed to increase STEAM knowledge while promoting environmental literacy and creating students who are motivated to engage in the stewardship behaviors to protect coastal systems. And I know that for those of you who took a look at the artwork, there is a lot of science included in their artwork. I particularly like the one for the young man who had an oxygen mask connected to a tree that's producing oxygen for him to read. That was pretty poignant. But there's a lot of other ones out there as well. So if you didn't get a chance to take a look at that on your way into the meeting, then I highly encourage you to take a look on your way out and have a chat with some of the students who are out there. They're doing excellent work. I'd also like to mention as part of my opening remarks that I had an opportunity to join Congressman Brian Babin a couple of weeks ago. He was here in the Houston area for a retreat with his full staff. He brought his staff down from Washington, D.C., connected up with all of his local staff in his district. And he, as part of that retreat and training, brought them to the Houston Ship Channel for some educational updates. And we took the congressman out on a fireboat. He and his staff, they all were very complimentary about what they had learned the day that they were out there on the water. And I'd particularly like to call out Mark Vincent, who spent most of the time with the congressman. And I'm telling you, there's not a lot of people who can keep the congressman's interest for several hours. But Mark Vincent has enough words in his head and is able to spit them out in such a way to make them very interesting. Is Mark here somewhere?
Yeah, he's there.
Where is he? Oh, he's hiding back there on the second row. But Mark, you did a superb job. Thank you. I hope you'll do that with all of our visitors as you have opportunity to do it. It was really good. The congressman was very pleased with the way that trip went out. In fact, he even said that he learned more in that one trip than he's learned in all of his previous trips combined about the Houston Ship Channel. So that's good. We need our representatives in Congress to be informed and to be educated and to understand our needs here in Houston. Okay, the next item on our agenda is the approval of minutes from our May 17 meeting. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Port Commission committee updates. I don't see any listed here, so we'll move on to appearances. Are there any appearances this morning? Tom's sitting in for Eric today, so thank you, Tom. Okay, no appearances this morning. Staff reports. Roger, it's all yours.
All right, thanks, Commissioner, Chairman, and Commissioners.
guest. It's great pleasure to talk about the operational achievements and activities that are going on at the port today. I have a few select comments about our operations through May. And I got to say that the port-wide container business is stronger than ever. In fact, May was a record month in the history of the port, whereby a total of more than 245,000 TEUs passed across our facilities. This is a 7% increase in a month that was just set 2 months ago in March. So the climb continues, and the activity brings our overall volume through May to more than 1.1 million TEUs through 5 months, which is 6% over the same period last year. And we can see this continuing through our gate activities each and every day. And I just wanted to mention records keep growing. We had a record day 2 weeks ago between Barber's Cut and Bayport terminals of nearly 9,200 transactions in one day. And the efficiency and the thrilling part of that is we did that with an average turn time of 35 and a half minutes. So handling that business efficiently is the key to continuing to be successful. And part of that is the investments that we continue to make of having the right assets where we need them and when we need them. It's critical to our continued success, along with the commitment by our staff and our labor who arrives every day and serves the industry with a high efficiency. And that's why our business continues to grow. A little bit.
Can you repeat the main point about 9,200 transactions
between Barber's Cut and Bayport in one day?
In 35 minutes turn time.
Average turn time was 35 and a half minutes. Is that not correct, Jeff?
That's correct.
So that's what we strive for. I mean, we have, put a high value on our efficiencies and those metrics, and very proud of that. I'm very proud of the people that make that work each and every day. Just an update on a few capital items. We had mentioned before about the three dockside cranes are on their way. They're going to show up at the recently completed berth number 2 at Bayport. The latest update to that is they're trying to circle around the tip of South Africa. They're close to Cape Town right now. They have actually had a few delays with high seas and some gale force winds. So the new ETA is roughly around the first week in August, so when they'll be here in Houston. So they're still on their way on their journey from Shanghai. On the break bulk side, I just want to mention steel imports have been very robust through the year. May was a strong month. It was the first time that we exceeded 500,000 TEUs in 1 month since April of 2015. So again, solid growth in the import of steel through our facility. Another note I think of really particular interest is last week our finance team concluded a bond refinancing, refunding transaction valued at over $200 million, which on a net present value basis, Tim, I think generated a savings of approximately $48 million. For the taxpayers of Harris County. So that's significant, and I want to recognize Tim and his leadership and Ray Yee, who was down in the middle of that, for their hard work on this effort on the behalf of our stakeholders. So big achievement there of refunding those outstanding that bond debt.
So I say our county representative in the back of the room is trying to applaud. So
yeah. Excellent. There you are. So that's great, great, great news, great work. And on a community-related stewardship note, a lot of our people are on our staff during a couple afternoons in May. More than 50 of our employees went out to the Sam Houston Landing to help start and continue the beautification of the Sam Houston experience is what I call it. You know, we get over 30,000 visitors a year through that. It was a great way for our employees to help out and put some true, it was hot, put some true sweat equity into enhancing that experience for our guests. And They did things like filled new planters, installed signs, painted large display letters that spelled Port Houston, and created artwork on the trash barrels and things that just make it a little more pleasing for the people that visit the Sam Houston. So appreciate the effort of a lot of employees that contributed there.
Good.
And the last thing, commissioners, we do this twice a year, and I think it's important to recognize our valued employees. We got several here today who have achieved significant milestones at the port, that being 20, 25, 30, 35 years. And we like them to come so we can recognize them for their service. And many of them are here today. And I'd like for to call them out. Please stand up when I call your name. In turn and base maintenance, John Case Jr., tradesman 3. Thank you for your service.
How many years?
How long?
20 years. I'm sorry. Thank you, John. And another 20-year service from Barber's Cup Maintenance, Ricardo Saldana. Thank you. Another 20 years from our accounting department, accountant 2, Tanya Lewis. Thank you for joining us. And from the MV Sam Houston, can't believe he's been here 25 years. Gennaro Ambris, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And 25 years from our police department, Sergeant Farrell Jones.
Right.
Another person that's here today that I want to highlight with 30 years of service is a gentleman that came to work for the port in June of 1988, shortly after I came to work here. Arturo Gomez is here today. Arturo, stand up. Arturo actually came to work for the Port Authority, and then he's been representing us 1996, I think.
Yes, sir.
Became
1996.
Contract, worked out of an office in Venezuela, worked in Miami. He's been in Panama for several years. How many years?
We're going to be celebrating 10 years.
10 years in Panama, representing us very well and our interest in Latin America. So he's here. He's been with us 30 years, not as an employee, but he's an employee to me. So he's here doing some strategy work with trade development. So Arturo, thanks for all you do
in
Panama.
Thank you very much.
Let me just say, Arturo, when we've gone on trade missions in South America, has been just a tremendous help to myself and to the mayor's office in terms of providing information and guidance for us. And so congratulations.
I'll second that as well.
And I would add that when you go down there, you realize real fast that Arturo is very well respected by all the folks down there and does a great job for the port. We appreciate what you do.
Thank you, Arturo. And one that's special to me, everybody's special to me, but someone that's been here for 35 years at Bayport Maintenance. He's an administrative specialist. Nina Armstrong, 35 years. When I came to work here, she was in what we then called, I think, a CRT operator. That's how long we've been here, Nina. Logistics Associates. But she came to work, and she and I worked together in the maintenance department for many, many years, and enjoyed my time with Nina. She's still there providing that service and support to the maintenance department. So thank you very much for 35 years, Nina. Thank you. And last but not least, we have one retirement at the port, Cheryl Johnson. Everyone knows her as CJ. So she's been here for 24 years. She hired in as a police officer in 1994, became a sergeant, moved to the credentialing office back in 2007 as a, she's now a customer service specialist there, credentialing all of our people and people affiliated with the port. So her last working day is on the 29th. Thursday. Well, the countdown is over. CJ, thanks for your service, and best wishes to you and your family and in your retirement. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's all I have for today. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman. Oh, go ahead, Todd. You go first.
I'd like to ask Roger. He gave his report a while ago about the tonnage. Can you give us a quick your opinion on what's going to happen with these tariffs and these, is it going to affect us in any way as far as our cargo in the future?
Well, you know, certainly a concern. You know, the import steel has been, as you can see, very solid growth. There's certainly a concern of ours of what the impact of tariffs directly on steel imports. Also, the concern is what's going to happen on some of the retaliatory tariff increases on things that we export to this country, to like China and other parts of the world, namely plastic resins and those. So I know there's a lot of discussions going on. You know, one thing I can say is I know back in the early 2000s when there was a increased tariff on import steel, our business was reduced by 40% at the time. So getting a feel for that is kind of unknown right now, but there's certainly a general level of concern on both the import and the export, import of retail goods as well. So
real quickly, are there any other countries that develop the resins the way we do in the United States that China or other countries could go and start buying that product from them?
Well, this market has really prepared because of the price of natural gas being so low. Right. Those billions, hundreds of billions of dollars of investments that have been made here. That allowed us to produce it here and ship it overseas. I would assume that if it becomes too expensive, then other alternatives of producing that elsewhere could be an option, but hopefully that's not the case. So it's concerning, and certainly I think of something that there's not an upside to for trade through the port, I would think.
Yeah. Roger, do you have an update on Ex-Im Bank? I was in D.C. last week, and the president nominated a chairman. Looks like she's going to get
I have
confirmed.
I've only heard what maybe you did about some increased activity at looking at the Ex-Im Bank again, but I don't know anything.
You haven't heard about any cargo coming our way?
I have not.
Commissioner Don Carlos,
on a lighter note, I just wanted to, y'all know I, every year we take the Harris County Mayor and Council's Association out on the Sam Houston, and I just wanted to, we did it this last week, 21st and 23rd, but I just wanted to thank Leslie and Garrett and the Captain Mims, the entire crew of the Sam Houston for an exemplary job. These are always very well attended, and they're folks that can help us in the long run. And we had great experiences both evenings. Roger was able to join us on Saturday night, but everybody was extremely complimentary of our crew and the crews, and they were all, I think, ended up learning a lot more about the port than they knew otherwise. It is amazing how many people in local government even know the port's here but know nothing about us, and certainly have no idea of the economic impact that this port has on our state and nation. So it's always fun to get them out, show them what we do, and but our crew is just exemplary on the Sam Houston. They do a fabulous job.
Agreed. Did you because of the recent elections, we've had a number of new mayors. Were there some new ones there?
There were a lot that had not been on the cruise before, and a lot of new council people that had not been on the cruise before. So it was eye-opening for them, I think.
Great. Okay, any other questions of Mr. Gunther? Okay, we have nothing under agenda item G, executive. Moving on to item H1 under the commercial division, award a professional services contract to John C. Martin Associates, LLC, for the development of an economic impact study for the Port Authority in an amount not to exceed $103,500.
So moved.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. I'll just say that the information that Martin Associates has provided for us in the past is invaluable and routinely used in this boardroom as we educate people in our orbit, in our framework. So that will be a good report, and I look forward to seeing it. Item H2, H3, and H4 are routine lease items. I'll take those together if
motion.
I have a motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Items pass. Okay, so moving on to agenda item I5 under finance. Staff is asking us to authorize the advertisement and receipt of responses for 7 formal procurements. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. We have nothing to consider under port security and emergency operations. So moving on to agenda item K, infrastructure. Item K1. Approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a construction contract in an amount not to exceed $4,835,052 for the renovation of the executive office building at Turning Basin Terminal to the top-ranked proposer. Staff ranking first, Turner Construction Company. Second, Gadberry Construction Company. Third, Christensen Building Group, LLC. And fourth, Gonzalez Group, LP.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Question.
Yes.
What all are we going to be doing for $4 million in this building?
Well,
can I ask Tom to answer that question? Yeah. Answered that question for me the other day.
Absolutely.
Very succinctly what we're trying to accomplish.
This is a 27-plus-year-old building. A big chunk of this is for the HVAC. It's the original system. It's no longer to code if we were to be doing any new work, so we're going to replace all the HVAC. We also have, through the years, put up walls to make new offices, but never changed the vent system. So you have some rooms that are ice boxes and some that are saunas. So it's gonna level that out. We're also putting in an efficient system in terms of the electricity and the heat and cool that we believe is going to save us at least $50,000 a year in electric bills. We also have the IT/security mechanical rooms on each floor that are no longer to code that are going to be upgraded. But probably the biggest thing that's going to happen is we're going to open up the areas that the employees are in and give us capacity for more employees down the road. We have 4 people right now who are actually in what were originally file closets. They're now offices. So we are crammed for space, and this is going to open that up.
Okay.
Can I mention one thing about this? Just further, this is going to be done in phases, one floor at a time, over a 2-year period at the most. And we know that it's going to be a challenge for our employees during this process, but we're going to do this as efficiently as we can and appreciate in advance, the commitment of our employees through this process. So hopefully we can get through sooner than 2 years. The other thing that I wanted to mention too, I don't know if you mentioned it or not, just so we're not spoon-feeding you, we wanted to get this approved as well, but there's also going to be some IT and security cost that we will be bringing to the next commission, as well as some expenses for furniture in the building, you know, to allow us to have more efficient furniture as well as accommodating more people. So that's going to be following as well. I just wanted to be upfront. And that's maybe close to, what, $1.5 million between those two that will be coming forward. So just want to give you a picture of the all-in cost.
Okay. So this is not the first time we'll see an agenda item related to the renovation of the building.
Should be next month.
Good. Okay, moving on then to agenda item K2, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a professional services contract in the amount not to exceed $53,250 for sediment sampling services at Bayport Container Terminal and Barber's Cut Terminal to the top-ranked proposer. Staff ranking, first, Benchmark Ecological Services Incorporated. Second, Chris Ransom and Associates Incorporated, doing business as CRA Inc. And third, Terracon Consultants Inc.
Motion, staff recommendation.
Second. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Agenda item K3, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a construction contract in an amount not to exceed $5,876,800 for partial demolition of the former lighter aboard ship dock, that's the lash dock, at Barber's Cut Terminal to the top-ranked proposer. Staff ranking, first, Shoreline Foundation, Inc., second, GSD Trading USA, Inc., and third, Taylor Marine Construction.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
I got a question.
Any opposed?
No, I'm not opposed. I got a question on it.
Okay.
What all are we going to do to this dock? Partially taking it down, right? Not taking the whole dock down?
Well, basically what we're going to do is remove the waterside port of it, the dolphins, the fender system. And this is kind of a pier that sticks back into the water. We're going to remove everything up to within, I don't know how many feet of the shoreline, where it's 4 feet of water. So we're just removing what we need to get the dredge depth and get the dock out of the way to allow for larger ships to be able to continue to come into the Barber's Cut Channel.
And we worked with the pilots to ensure that we're taking enough out.
Yes, you'll get, part of this is removing the dock, but part of it is dredging that area back down to 45 feet as well. So, again, it's all in an effort to continue to accommodate larger ships that need to come to our container terminals.
And the dredging is included in the 5.8?
Yes.
Okay.
Chairman, you might call the question again. I think Commissioner Meese asked this question just in the middle of the voting.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Moving on to agenda item 4, and items 4 and 5 are both simple name changes to some contract documents. I'll take those both.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries for agenda items 4 and 5. Agenda item K6, amend the professional services contract with Lockwood, Andrews, and Noonan Incorporated to perform additional services for Port Road Parcel Supplemental Site Detention Analysis at Bayport Container Terminal in an amount not to exceed $41,168.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second.
Question? Is this the retainage area out front, or it's back here?
No,
this is the property on between Old Port Road. Between Old 146 and 146 on Port Road, mm-hmm. At Bayport.
Okay.
You know, when you come over that flyover, it's just to your right. Mm-hmm. We own that U-shaped property, and we're trying to figure out the drainage so that we can develop it. And we had to expand the scope of this drainage because the drainage goes into the main drainage system on Port Road, and we have to make sure that it's capable of handling this. So that's what this additional work is for.
All right.
Who owns that drainage system on Port Road?
Harris County.
Yeah. So we're tying into Harris County's.
That's the plan. I mean, we got to make sure it works first, but that's what we're trying to figure out.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, agenda item 6 passes. Moving on to K7, amend the professional services contract with Dannenbaum Engineering Corporation to perform additional services for the Wharf 11, 12, and 13 repair design in an amount not to exceed $5,440.
Motion.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
And I have a second. Any questions on that one? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to permits, licenses, and easements. All of the permits appear to be, and licenses appear to be routine items. So I will take agenda items 8 through 15 together.
Motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, moving along to the operations items on the agenda. Item 11-1, reject all proposals, re-advertise a request for proposals, and receive responses for spotting of vessels at all Port Authority facilities. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
I have a motion. Any second?
Question. Who was doing this work previously?
Explanation.
Thank you.
Jeff, you want to explain what we're doing here? Port Police was spotting vessels, but this is something that we're trying to streamline a little bit better.
Go ahead. Port Police have been spotting the vessels since at all of our facilities forever. We're looking at some more efficient ways of spotting the vessels. We're talking about incorporating potentially the boatmen and line handlers and bringing them in as part of the as when they tie up ships and provide data back to our operating systems so that we can start billing and conclude billing. So we put it out to the industry and we didn't get the response that we were looking for. So we're re-advertising to go back to have the mooring companies propose again.
How many responses did we receive?
Two.
Were they both responsive?
I'm sorry.
Were they both?
One was not. One was
non-responsive, and one was.
And there are two mooring companies, and so we're resubmitting for the mooring companies to give them an opportunity to propose.
You're saying there's only two, or only two submitted?
Two submitted, but only one of them was a mooring company. The other one was the vet. Do you recall what the other company did?
No, I don't.
They were deemed non-responsive.
We just want to make sure that we're getting the available parties that are able to do this work to respond.
When you put it back down, are you changing anything?
No, sir.
So you would take the trouble to advertise it, and some folks take the trouble not to bid, and some do, and one actually makes the bid, and yet you're not happy, evidently.
Well, the way that it's divvied up amongst the four, both of the mooring companies tie up the ships, and we would be excluding half of our ships if we don't get them both to respond.
So we had to change what we bid. We're not bidding the same thing then.
We're rebidding it.
But have we made any changes in the rebid?
No, sir.
So, Commissioner, when we rebid, sometimes the scope is changed. Otherwise, we may make changes to the length of time that procurement is out so that we can receive additional responses. We will do market research. We'll reach out to vendors that fit within that scope to ensure that they will respond as well. So we're looking for a higher response level.
Right. Did we not do those things when we first bid it?
In some cases we will, in some cases we will not. It just depends upon what we see in the system. The system may show that there are a multitude of contractors that can respond and that are even viewing the proposal. You know, and from that, if it's a high level, then we expect those individuals or those firms to respond. If they don't, then we do the market research on the back end.
Do you know how many firms are in the universe that would respond?
I can't just give you that number right now.
Okay.
I mean, I have it, but I can't give it to you.
Could you provide that?
Sure. Thank
you. So do we think this change is going to improve our operation?
Yes, because what happens, I mean, when you're spotting ships, the mooring companies are there to tie up the ships anyway. As Jeff said, we're doing it with port police now. If we can incorporate the spotting of the ships on our behalf by the mooring companies, while they're going to be there anyway, we think that that'll provide a lot more efficiency and better use of what we're having port police do just to be spotting ships all day.
Well, the obvious concerns with the integrity of the process, because if you go out and someone submits a responsive bid and their cards are on the table, then you're going back out and asking, I know it's not bid, I know it's a proposal, but their cards out on the table, and then you give everybody else a second bite of the apple. I guess I'm concerned about the appearance of the process. It nearly looks like, well, it would appear to me as an outside vendor that we are, that we've got somebody in mind, we want to do it, and they didn't respond, so we're going to let them now come in and do it. And everybody else followed the rules, if you want a better way to say it. So I'm just concerned about the appearance of integrity of the process when we do something like this.
So, Commissioner, this is an RFP, and unlike CSBs and CSPs, right, it's not read aloud. So information that was submitted is not being revealed to the public.
Okay, they can't get it through a public information request?
Well, sure, they can require it that way, yes, but it's not read aloud.
Right.
The concern you've got to have is the two that did submit bids had to spend time, effort, and money to put that bid together. One evidently is acceptable, one's not. I can understand rejecting that one, but I don't think it's fair to the one that took the time to bid. And now we're going to say, well, evidently we don't like you. That's the best I'm reading.
I have a question.
We're going to go at it again.
Remind me, is this going to be a divisible bid?
It is.
So if there are multiple companies that do line handling, we will, you know, ultimately we'll have a contract with either of these to perform. So you're not excluding, we're not determining who's doing the line handling for the business. If they do the line handling for that business, then we will pay them to do the spotting. So yeah. So I don't think it's going to exclude anyone from being able to perform these services. I think that's the key point to that. If you award to one company and you don't have the other players with the ability to do a contract, then we're gonna have to spot vessels for some ships and not the other. That I think that's the point. So no one's gonna be excluded of any business if we rebid.
Commissioner Fisher.
Yeah, I'd just like to see if I can clear it up a little bit. There's only two companies that, as of today, is offering this service of tying up these vessels when they come into the port. And they kindly split the vessels. One company has a portion, the other company has a portion. And the way I understand is, for it to work efficiently, you need the guys, while they're tying the vessel up, to spot the vessel. That makes it more efficient. So one of the companies is willing to take that responsibility on, and the other one is don't want to deal with it. Well, there's nobody else to come in and bid for it. Because in the way I see it, if the guys, when they tie the vessels up, if they don't do this procedure, then it's not going to work. Is that right, Jeff?
That's correct.
So that's the problem we got. So I guess what they're trying to do now is go back and put pressure on this second line handling company to participate in this process.
So now we're going to force a company to do something that they don't necessarily want to be in the business of doing.
Well, I don't know if it's force them or not, but to go back and revisit with them and try to convince them that it's the best thing for the port.
Yeah.
Well, was there a problem with the job that the police were doing? Because, I mean, to me, the more police presence we have on these docks, the better off we are. And in this day and age. So, I mean, I don't.
The decision about the the police was to get the police to do police work. For years, because they were the only ones that were out here for 24/7, 365, we had them doing things like spotting shifts, reading water meters, doing things that aren't really police work. So we are trying to make that group more efficient to allow them to do police work. So that's why this decision was made in terms of, this was an area that took a lot of their time that we didn't believe had to be done by certified peace officers. So that's where the decision to go this direction came from. So the police are still gonna be there. You know, they're still, but they're going to be
still be the ships on arrival.
No, but they don't need to be on ships on arrival. They need to be on the terminal and securing the gates and things like that. So they'll have more time to do that than the non-police work they were doing.
Didn't we also, at one time, not long ago, the pilots were pretty well brought in, weren't by the police, were they not, to the docks? How do they get in now? Just anybody brings them in now, don't they?
No.
I think they drive.
They, Jeff,
our staff is taking that over. At the container terminals, our staff is moving them to and from the gate. The long part of that process was the docking of the ship, and it took the police officer an hour and a half to do that. The ride from the gate to the ship is just a couple of minutes. So our staff are now transporting the pilot from the gate to the ship, or vice versa.
So they get to the gate, and then we take them in. Used to take them in.
Correct.
So we've changed that too.
Yes, sir. We're the process of changing
this. So when this is all done, are we going to evaluate our police department and find out that maybe we got too many people or what? It seems like to me we've taken an awful lot of things off of them that they've done for years. So maybe we have more than we need once we take all of this off. Is that going to be evaluated when through with all this?
If you remember, we are down 10 police officers right now. Just like every other job, we will evaluate as we go forward with this, tying up ships and everything else down the road, just like we do with every job, and verify that we have the right number of people. But we are down 10 from before all this started.
So how many do we have now?
40. Like 40.
But I was under the understanding, that by making this change, that the police officers was not going to lose no jobs.
No. The 10 we're down has come from retirements and attrition. So we haven't laid anybody off. Yeah. So we just haven't rehired when people have left.
Kind of taking care of itself.
Right.
So to answer, it's always under evaluation, right. But we're just looking to honestly streamline the process.
We made a much smaller PO using the line handlers to ensure that this process worked, and it's at a threshold that it requires court commission approval if we're going to move forward. So we did a small sampling of it to ensure that it worked with both the line handlers.
But if I may add also, Commissioner, about the fact of forcing them to do something, from time to time, these companies like these guys always come into the port looking for something for us to do for them.
Mm-hmm.
So for this port to be successful, everybody's got to pitch in, including the line handling companies. So everybody's got to work together. So it's not a matter of forcing them. It's a matter of how do we do this together to make the port more efficient.
Well, I'm going to vote for it, but reluctantly, because I don't think we have any business putting out bids, getting a bidder that qualifies. And nothing seems to be wrong with it, but it didn't match what we wanted to match, so now we're going to rebid the same thing, best I can figure. You're not going to change your bid, are you? So, I mean, do we keep doing it till we get the right guy? I mean, I don't know where we're going with this, but
But again, I
don't really like the way we're going.
It can be awarded to multiple
people. I think that's the issue, is that it's going to be multiple people will be able to participate in this contract by virtue of the fact that there are multiple companies doing the line work.
Right.
Is that a fair assessment?
As far as I know, there's only two right now.
Well, two. We know there's two, but let's say a third one comes, they would be able to participate.
They'd be able to bid, yes.
Yes. Okay.
I think anybody can qualifies rebidding it. I just wonder why that poor guy bid it, gets it on the guy, and it's not.
I guess I'd feel better about the process if you accepted this proposal and then went out for somebody to do additional work.
Before we move on, let me ask our attorney, have we stepped outside a boundary of the law with respect to the way we're treating this agenda item?
In
terms of the bid process, the process that we've used?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay. So let me start over again, because I don't think we ever had a second onto this motion.
Correct.
To begin with.
Well, I have one last question.
Okay, one last question.
So we don't anticipate any further reductions in the police force due to this change?
No, we're not reducing police force.
Seems like it's taking care of itself through attrition, yeah.
All right. That's what I was told, that it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Okay, so agenda item L1, reject all proposals, re-advertise a request for proposals, and receive responses for spotting of vessels at all port facilities. Do I have a motion? Somebody made a motion earlier.
I think it's been motioned and seconded.
I thought it was, yeah.
Okay, motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
Aye. Okay.
So we have, what I heard was two yeses and three noes. Somebody didn't vote. Where are we? So it fails?
Chairman, you can call the question again if it's not clear on the voting.
Okay. Call the question. If you'd raise your hand, if you're in favor of the motion, raise your hand. Okay, there's two. If you're opposed, four. Okay, so motion fails. Okay, moving on to agenda item L2.
That doesn't stop them from bringing it back again. That just didn't, we just didn't approve it.
Well, so let me ask a question. Can I ask a question?
Sure, about, yeah.
Commissioner Don Carlos' suggestion, if we approve, would that preclude from going out for bid again for
additional help? No.
No.
That was the point.
I would be in favor of it if you came back, I guess, next meeting with a approval of the one that the proposal that met the criteria and then went back out for proposals to an additional company to assist with the spotting.
But you're talking about doing that at next meeting.
I think you'd have to. You'd have to repost.
Would that work, Jeff?
Yes, sir. What?
Maybe we.
So you're saying we could award to the one that we've already.
Question again.
Then go find somebody. Then propose for an additional.
Propose a second time to seek further participation from the industry.
Correct. And then you can go talk to the other company and say your competitors.
Okay.
But we're talking about next month, awarding next month.
Do you have enough money on your current field?
So we need to table this?
Well, we've already rejected it.
Yep. Oh, okay. All right. That's right. Yep. You're right.
That's the problem.
Yeah, because they didn't propose.
Okay, so we did reject agenda item L1, and with the understanding that staff will bring that back to us next month. So moving on, L2, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a two-year contract in an amount not to exceed $300,000 for warehouse door repair services at Turning Basin Terminal to the top-ranked proposer. Staff ranking, first, Johnson Equipment Company, second, Vortex Colorado Incorporated.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Agenda item L3, award a contract for the purchase of one 55,000-pound capacity Calmar forklift for Bayport Container Terminal to Dar Equipment Company in an amount not to exceed $379,500.
Motion. Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item L4, award a contract to Industrial and Crane Services Incorporated for replacement of short trolley rails and Gantrex pads on six wharf cranes at Bayport Container Terminal in an amount not to exceed $2,388,600. Do I have a
motion?
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Agenda item L5, award a 2-year contract to Home Depot USA Incorporated for the purchase of miscellaneous hardware and construction supplies for Barber's Cut Terminal, Bayport Container Terminal, and Turning Basin Terminal using the U.S. Community's Government Purchasing Alliance in an amount not to exceed $300,000. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Have a motion and a second?
Question.
And a question.
Was this item, didn't we have an item for Home Depot last meeting? Something on the agenda?
I'm not aware of anything for Home Depot before.
I don't remember. Okay. I don't think so.
And so in this item, for this particular item under this contract, this is for staff to go and buy miscellaneous items as it relates to
maintaining facilities.
Maintenance work. If you need some bags of Sacrete or if you need some miscellaneous supplies. Okay. Or
and we're not paying retail, right?
But we don't pay tax.
And so my other question here would be, are we comfortable that we have the right protocols in place so that we don't have situations like we had before where employees are buying supplies to, you know, for their homes and cars and personal issues?
We have to have the ability to go get supplies when we need them. The reason why Home Depot is, with extended hours, we're working more availability of hours than some of the hardware stores that we were using.
Open on Sunday.
But we have to manage those to make sure that we have the authority to what we're going to go buy and make sure that it's like anything else we buy, that they're not being used for personal use. So, yeah, there's always that concern, but there's got to be that audit process on that.
Okay.
Am I correct, Paula?
Yes.
Okay, all in favor?
It's not something new. It's a new venue that we're proposing that has more hours.
It just seems like, you know, whenever we do these types of deals, it kind of lends itself to, you know, us being in a situation where, you know, it can be abused.
Yep. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item passes. Moving on to agenda item L6, award a 2-year contract to EVCO Partners LP, doing business as Burgoon Company, for the purchase of miscellaneous shop supplies for Barber's Cut Terminal, Bayport Container Terminal, and Turning Basin Terminal using the Texas Comptroller of Public Accounts Texas Multiple Award Schedule in an amount not to exceed $300,000.
So moved.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Agenda item L7, award a 2-year contract to Carrier Enterprise LLC for the purchase of spare and replacement parts for Carrier heating, ventilation, and air conditioning units at Barber's Cut Terminal, Bayport Container Terminal, and Turning Basin Terminal using the Local Government Purchasing Cooperative's Buy Board program in an amount not to exceed $150,000.
Move we approve.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item 7 passes. Agenda item L8, issue a purchase order to Motorola Solutions for the purchase of handheld radios, base stations, and related hardware for Bayport Container Terminal using the Houston-Galveston Area Council Cooperative Purchasing Program in an amount not to exceed $84,000.
Motion.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Got a question on that. How many are we buying? Is this just a running contract as you need it, or is it we're actually going out for X amount of radio?
It's X amount. It's 15 handheld radios. It's 6 base station radios, and then it's some spare parts, and the spare parts are mostly batteries.
And what happens to the ones that we have? This just is this an additional two.
Yeah, we increased the staffing at Old Barber's Gut in Bayport, so we need more radios.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Agenda item L8 passes. Agenda item L9, issue a purchase order to Graybar Electric Company Incorporated for the purchase of LED lighting for Barber's Cut Terminal, Bayport Container Terminal, using the U.S. Committee's Government Purchasing Alliance in an amount not to exceed $1,100,000. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Okay, moving along to agenda item M, the People Department. M1, enter into one-year contracts for the Port Houston Academy Leadership Development Program in a total amount not to exceed $200,000 with A, Global Business Management Consultants for Project Leadership Training, B, Articulus LLC for Executive Communications Training, C, Miller Hyman Group Incorporated for Stakeholder Relationship Management Training, and D, the Center for Strategy Implementation Limited for Business and Financial Acumen Training. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. I have questions.
I believe we did this last year, I think. Was it a productive exercise?
I think it's been extremely productive for our employees. You know, we've already had several 20 to 30 people in project leadership, executive communications, things that were cascading through the organization all with the value of leadership development when the organization, you know, different than specific training or whatever. But I think it's been tremendously valuable. Being led by the Jessica and the People Department, and the engagement, I think is something good. You know, leaning toward the business and,
sure,
and financial acumen aspects of the job and growing employees through the organization.
It certainly feeds into the decisions we made relative to the strategic plan and the training of our employees, the continuous training of our employees. You had a question.
Yeah, I'm for it. I just wonder, where are these trainings taking place?
Jessica.
Different.
He's asking where they take place and if you want to
come on site here. Sometimes we do partner with some of, like San Jacinto Maritime College, to use their facilities if we need an off-site venue, but for the most part, they occur here.
So why don't we get Mr. Yo and just Bob to this and have him bring our trainer in here for our stuff?
Mr. Yee.
Okay. I have on agenda item M1, I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. We have no items under technology, and the next item on our agenda is convene in executive session. We do have executive session today.
Yes.
That's correct. Okay, so I am going to recess the open meeting for executive session, and we'll reconvene at 9:10. I'm sorry, 10:10. 10:10.
That ship has sailed.
The Board Commission of Harris County, Texas will now convene in closed meeting permitted by the Texas Open Meetings Act and Government Code. One, to conduct a private consultation with attorneys, Section 551071, Texas Open Meetings Act, including consultations regarding claims of CYMI Industrial Inc. Two, MV Yao Chao Elysian with OSG Barge 243 at Sims Bayou Tanker Dock A, adjoining premises leased to TPC Group LLC. And three, claims of the Port Authority against the MV Barents, formerly known as the MV BBC Sweden. Deliberate regarding two, real estate, Section 551072, Texas Open Meetings Act, including deliberation regarding disposition of Barber's Cut Terminal property. Three, economic development negotiations or incentives, Section 551.087, Texas Open Meetings Act. Four, employment and evaluation of public
Officers and Employees, Section 551074, Texas Open Meetings Act, including deliberations regarding public employees, and 5, Security-Related Matters, Section 418.175 to 418.183 of the Texas Government Code, and Section 551076, Texas Open Meetings Act. The Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned.
Port Commission meeting at 10:38. We do have some items from executive session. So let's start with Commissioner Branch. You have a motion to make?
Yes. I move to authorize the Port Authority to amend its lease with Frontier Logistics, LP, dated January 1, 2015, of property in La Porte, Texas, as previously amended on the same terms discussed in executive session, and authorize the executive director to do all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
So moved. Okay, I have a motion, and was that a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Commissioner Fitzgerald, you have an item.
I move to authorize the Port Authority to settle the claims of CB Industry, Inc. on the terms discussed in the executive session, and authorize the executive director to do all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Commissioner Corgi, do you have an item?
I do. I move to authorize the Port Authority to settle its claims against the MV Barents, formerly known as the MV BBC Sweden, on the terms discussed in the executive session, and authorize the executive director to do all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I think we're done. Okay, the Port Commission for June 26th is adjourned. So, kids.